when it gets cold outside, can hearts freeze too? Where is the sunshine that once shined through? Is this the end? Where's the girl that was once heaven sent?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday night from 6 to 7, and I'm sure you all know what that means. That means it's the Red Card with me, Casey Gibson, live on radio.dominican.edu. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here. I'm ready to do my show. I'm pumped for tonight, guys. I really am. I've got a good feeling about tonight. I haven't been on the air for in a week or so, I mean, I'm excited for tonight, which is crazy to think because honestly, I just got done with practice about an hour ago, and it wasn't fun. I'm exhausted from that, so I'm surprised that I'm so excited. But you know, this show always does that to me. It always pumps me up. It always gets me ready to go, and I think it's because I get to talk about soccer, and I honestly have nothing wrong with that. Like, it's my life. I enjoy it so much. So, I don't know. I think it's a good thing. And if it's not, well, then too bad. You know what I mean? No, you know, life's going good. I'm really excited. Like I said, I wasn't on last week. And that was due to the ILS lectures that we broadcast here at Dominican University of California. And so, unfortunately, my time slot for that got kicked off. And I know I wasn't the only one to... I believe the Scoop, which is on right after me, too, kind of felt felt that. But it's okay, you know. Life goes on. You learn to adapt. That's what college is all about. I think is adapting to your surroundings. And you know, hey, whatever. I'm here tonight. I'm here on this Thursday, and I'm excited. What is today? It's the 20th of October. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, this semester is going by super fast. And I know I'm supposed to talk about soccer, but I just want to take a second real quick and just think back about where I was. Like, it seems like just a week ago, I was coming to my first class, you know, Walking in those doors is my junior year. I'm super excited. I'm halfway done with my undergraduate, so I'm pretty excited about that. And now to think that we're more than halfway done with this semester is crazy. You know, and I know everybody in my classes and everything is stressing because this week and the week before were midterms. You know, lots of teachers handing out those midterms, and it's stressful. You know, I usually thought that the most stressful part was finals, but midterms are pretty stressful too. There's no doubt about that. I've been feeling it. I know a bunch of kids on our soccer team have been losing sleep because they've been studying all night and just cramming for tests. So, you know, that's what's going on here. And it's kind of stressful. I'm not going to lie. That's why I like coming to this radio show. I tell you what, I don't have to worry about a midterm in radio. This is basically my midterm. My grade's based on doing a show. And I can't believe I get credit for doing a show where I talk about soccer or football. Like that to me is so great. And maybe that's why I picked this major. But man, I see these bio majors and nursing majors and business majors, and they're all just cramming. They're worried about what's the next class? What's financial accounting gonna have for them tomorrow or whatnot? And me, I'm chilling. I mean, yeah, I've got midterms too in a couple of my classes, but it's not on like, you know, the neuroskeletal system, or I don't even know if that's the right terminology, or the neuro, you know, whatever. Something that has to do with the brain and anatomy and here, this and that. And I'm sitting a little better than them, but I've still got midterms myself. So, you know, I do know what they're going through. And for some of these kids, I'm sitting there going, wow, if this is what your midterms are going to be like, I don't even want to know what you're going to have to go through for your final. I mean, that's rough. That's super rough. But the life of a college student, I guess, right? And, you know, for some of us, it's tough. Having to juggle sports and school and maybe a social life if you got enough skills for it. I'm astonished at the fact that people are able to do it. And you know what? And something to me is, I know I'm going off on a little rant here, and I apologize for that, but it kind of reversed back to soccer, at least sports in a way. So I'm not getting totally off track. I know there was an article on this in The Habit, which is the school newspaper, for those of you that don't know. And, it talked about the student athletes juggling everything that they have to do here on campus. And I'm not trying to use that as an excuse, because that's the last thing I think that we need as athletes is an excuse. You know, I think we get the privilege to do something that we love, which is play our sport. And, if that's what we have to do to help us get through college, then, you know, I don't think there's any greater, satisfaction than that. Honestly, that's the way I feel though. But, you know, some of these schools that, like, the biggest one for me is a Division I program. And, you know, honestly, there's a big difference between Division III, II, and I. And I was more of focused on, I really just wanted to play Division II. One, because I didn't think I was going to get, I didn't think I had the right skills or the right height or body for a Division I program, at least in soccer. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? I want a social life. Like, I want to be able to compete in soccer, and I want to be able to get a good education. A good education for me came first, of course. You know, good education, play soccer. But, you know, I don't want to just like, one of the terms that I heard once was sign my soul away, you know? But I don't think that's what you do at a Division I necessarily. I just think that the demands are so much greater on you. You know, the demands of the athletics is a lot, but even more, the demands of the academics are more. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing about our institution here, because it's not. Our academics are phenomenal. You know, in a lot of majors, you know, we have a very, very good nursing program. In fact, I think we have one of the top ones on the West Coast. And we, I know we have a great biology department. I know we have a great a business program. A couple of my roommates are in the business program. And so, you know, it's that idea of, yeah, we're getting a great education. At the same time, we're getting to play soccer or volleyball or whatever it is that our student athletes love. But we're also, you know, able to go to San Francisco if we choose, you know, go visit some, you know, cool place that a lot of us may not have ever gone to. Now, I'm speaking because I was from Arizona. So for me, it was cool to be able to do these things. And I'm not sure if I would have been able to, if I would have had the exact opportunity to do that at Division One. I'm not sure. I haven't done it. So I can't really tell you, but that was just where I was thinking, you know, coming from and everything. And so I'm loving it right now. And I know that may be a little bit of a crazy tangent that I just went on, and I apologize for that. But right now I'm having a fantastic time. You know, I'm getting a good education, getting to play soccer. And you know, right now there's a field being built out there. I don't know if you guys know this, but if you check out our school newspaper, The Habit, which I had already mentioned, I do write for it. Not to toot my own horn here. I did write an article for that paper about groundbreaking of our new field. That's right. We're supposed to get a new field, so I'm really excited about that. And I know the soccer players and lacrosse players and even the tennis players who are also getting new courts are really excited about this. You know, I think it'll bring more popularity to the school, which will bring a higher caliber of talent to our school, which is something that you're always striving for as an athletic program. And I know Athletic Director Terry Toomey is working really hard for that. And, you know, we're making big strides for all sports. You know, we got fantastic coaching both in the fall, winter, and spring sports. So, you know, very impressive to see that going on. And, yeah, you know, it's just been a good day. It's a nice day in San Rafael. The other day we went to the soccer team traveled to Belmont to play Notre Dame on Tuesday, and I was driving through the city and going over the bridge. It was foggy and nasty, and then going through 19th Avenue was the same thing. We got to Belmont, it was nice and sunny, and so you know, right now I'm loving the weather in San Rafael. It's not too hot as of late. Yeah, a couple weeks ago we had that rainy spell, but since then it's good right now. I'm liking this. But anyway, so that just, you know, it's a good day today, a good week. Midterms are over with. I think that's really the point I was trying to make in my little rant right there, and I apologize to everybody about that. But I just want, you know, you always got to go on a rant. Like, I don't see these, you know, these problems with going on random rants. Like, my teachers do it all the time. I mean, everybody, you know, has their time, their moments to go on little rants. Even you, Stu, if you're listening, yes, you get your rants, you know what I mean. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get into the first segment, which is English Premier League. So, stick around. You're listening to The Red Card on radio.dominican.edu.
it's an illusion.
Transmitter!
Have you no patience for those who are drawing a hasty conclusion?
Transmitter!
I see no reason to tell you the secrets that I have been keeping.
Transmitter!
What she has told you is far from the message that I am receiving.
But if you hang around a while, I might just make my mind up and I'll know just what to say. Send you on your way. In every direction you send the transmission. In every direction you send your transmission.
Transmitter.
In every direction you send your transmission.
Transmitter.
See in the morning when the sun shows up. Big past I never seen. So thoughtful after the lesson went pleased, wound up bleeding. Proceeding beneath all the tasks from scattered sets of batter bosses, lead aside. Calling out my guilty sinners. Is anyone keeping time? The fun's all gone inside. I need more sense for entrance. Losing faith, I try. Resolved to just wish the thought over my shoulder because of my weak head. So hurling stalled and I'm clasped to calm my head and shoulder with feet stable. With feet stable, moving right.
If I had to give it a glance. And we're back to No Excuses. Oh, excuse me. Not No Excuses. Whoa, excuse me, the red card on radio.dominican.edu. Well, that was a little weird. Woo. Wow. Man, you've been staying, you do a show for so long with an amazing partner like Killian Larson, and you automatically just come back and think you're doing that show. But, wow, I'm going to have to text Killian on that one and let him know. Wow, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This is the red card on radio.dominican.edu with your host, me, Casey Gibson. I feel a little embarrassed on that one. Wow. sometimes you mess up and you just gotta laugh at it. And, that's what I'm gonna do because that's about all I can do on that one. That was a little flub. Oh, well, it was a good flub. I had no problem with No Excuses, a sports show that got it done. And, you know, we've retired the name. And there is a copyright on that name, though. So no one else can use that name unless me or Killian decide to use it. So, you know, it's going to go down in the Hall of Fame of Dominican radio, radio.dominican.edu Hall of Fame, without a doubt. That is one of the greatest shows ever. And a little shout out to Killian Larson. I wish him the best. I got to see him the other day. I don't know if I've had a show since I've been back from Grand Canyon. No, I don't think so. Anyway, I got to see Killian. I'll tell you guys that real fast. Got to see Killian when we went to Utah and Arizona, and he came to our game at Grand Canyon, and it was really nice to see him. You know, he's looking good. I mean, he's a big boy. He's always been a big boy, of course, you know, 6'10" and everything, but he's got some muscle on him, and he looks lean and fit, and I'm really excited for him. You know, he seems to be really happy. He really likes the basketball program there, Grand Canyon. A little upset that he went to Grand Canyon. I mean, like, come on, man. But no, I wish him all the best. He's a good friend, and I talk to him about multiple times a week. So I wish him the best this season. And of course, he can't play this season. It's almost like a redshirt, but since he transferred within conference and transferred schools, and he has to sit out a season, but you know, he's only going to get better with doing that. So best of luck to you, Killian. And now we're going to get on to the soccer. We're not going to talk anymore about No Excuses, even though it's a lovely show. We're going to get into the real meat and the real importance of this show, the red card. And we're going to start out with the segment of the English Premier League. You know, it's this season is awesome. I'm having a great time watching and keeping up with the EPL or the English Premier League. We got lots of good talent, you know, there's some good stories within the EPL, and we'll get into them. And you know, the biggest one is this past weekend, Manchester United and Liverpool played, and it's a big rivalry. It's huge. You have the two of the most winningest English clubs going head to head. It's always a heated battle, even though they're not derby rivals. Which, and I'll explain derby, because we have a derby coming up this weekend. They're rivals. You know, Manchester United just passed and has the outright lead in most EPL championships. They have 19. Liverpool has 18. Their 19th just came last season. Manchester United is going for their 20th. And Liverpool's trying to get back on this winning path. You know, last year was a little rough for them, a little rebuilding. They had great signings in Luis Suarez, fantastic signings. The Uruguayan striker, and they're just really trying to get the team, the winning back, and you know, they're doing a pretty good job at it. You know, they got rid of Fernando Torres, which some were a little skeptical about, and even I was a little skeptical about, and turns out Chelsea didn't make the best decision, but you know, that's an opinion. And but hey, you know what, it's my show, I can have an opinion if I want. But it was a big game. And another cool thing about it is Steven Gerrard was coming back from a groin injury. And for him to come back, the captain of Liverpool, and play the way he did in this game was fantastic. And you know, I'm a huge Manchester United fan. Right now I'm wearing my jersey, my new away jersey that my girlfriend got me. But you know, even being a Manchester United fan, I'm a huge England fan. So I give props to Steven Gerrard. And he played a very good game after coming back from this injury. And it means a lot to him. I know it does. And he scored this a great free kick. A little lucky, you know. What happened was a foul occurred. Kind of a soft foul, but it was a foul. You kind of have to give the foul. Kid, Steven Gerrard steps up. I can't call him a kid. Yeah, right. I'm a kid. Steps up and he curves this ball. It goes right side. The foul happened on the right side of the you know, middle of the goal, so right side of the goal. Curls this ball. Wall set up perfectly. David De Gea set up a perfect wall. Giggs is on the very end, and Giggs is a very seasoned veteran. Okay, he knows what he did wrong. And when Steven Gerrard hits the ball, he kind of steps out of the way. And when you're in a wall, you're not supposed to step out of the way. You're supposed to, if the ball's coming at you, you let it hit you because you save a goal. That's why you're there, is to protect that side of the goal and make it difficult for them to bend it or, you know, put it through or whatever. And it just bends it right around, and it kind of nicks him a little bit and goes into the bottom left-hand side of the goal if you were David De Gea, who's the goalkeeper. Didn't really have a chance. There's no doubt about that. You want your wall to blast that out. But unfortunately, you know, that's the game. You know, it happens to the best players. But then, you know, I tell you what, this Chicharito, Javier Hernandez, the Mexican striker, phenomenal. Probably one of the greatest pickups that Sir Alex Ferguson has ever made. He's a freaking genius. He is an amazing man. I can't say enough about him. Anyway, he subs him in with, I think it was 80 minutes left. Chicharito saves the day, puts in a goal, a header that was flicked. Oh, it's fantastic. Off of a, he was a corner, if my memory serves me right, it was a long time ago, but fantastic goal. Saves him, gets him a point. Unfortunately, a point isn't really what they were looking for. They're trying to keep pace with Man City, who's doing phenomenal. They beat Aston Villa 4-1, and they jumped United for the top spot in the EPL. So that's big time. That's a big time because coming up, and this is what I'm going to talk about. Coming up is the Manchester Derby, and Derby is just a football in Europe uses as like a rivalry weekend. You know, in like college football, they say it's rivalry weekend. Well, that's what a derby is. It's your biggest rival, or it's usually maybe not your biggest rival, but it's like if you're in the same city or same area of a city, if there's two teams, then it's a derby. You know, like a basically to see who's best of the city. Manchester has the Manchester City and Manchester United. There's all sorts of derbies throughout England and throughout Europe. But this is big time because right now City has a 2-point lead atop the English Premier League table over United. If United wins, it's at Old Trafford. They have a great, you know, the fans will be there. They're looking good. Neither team has lost. So both teams are unbeaten. If United can pull off a win, that'd be fantastic. They'll go up by a point over their rival. Now, these two have met earlier this year. They met in the Community Shield, and United was down 2-0 at halftime, came back in the second half, scored 3 goals, and won 3-2. So if that's an appetizer for this weekend, then I'm excited. Everybody's excited. I know there's lots of drama going on within England with the Carlos Tevez between these two teams. Carlos Tevez used to play for Manchester United. Now he plays for City, and there's lots of drama going on. But it seems like both teams are uniting to go against Tevez, so that's kind of interesting to see. Like I said, it's at Old Trafford. It should give a little bit of an edge to United. Hopefully they come out. I know they just beat Odil something. I can't even pronounce the name. It's a crazy name in Champions League. And so it's a little shaky of a performance, so I'm hoping they rebound from that pretty well. Anyway, honestly, who wins is probably the biggest question out there. You know, Manchester City looks good on paper. They look good in action, look good live. Like I said, you know, they're a fantastic team. Lots of talent on this team. You have the Italian youngster, Balotelli. You have Sergio Aguero, who they picked up. You have David Silva. Barry. You have Milner, James Milner. You have just all out. Edin Dzeko. Just fantastic players. You have Carlos Tevez, but right now it doesn't look like he's going to play, primarily because of the fact, well, he's kind of pissing people off in Manchester, in the city of Manchester, so I don't see him playing anytime soon. So I feel like it'll be a great team. You're gonna have, you know, very skillful players against very skillful players. Both teams bringing in great lineups. You know, Manchester United's got, of course, the man that's been in the news lately, Wayne Rooney. You have the Mexican youngster Chicharito, Javier Hernandez, who's blazing speed, could, you know, cut up Manchester City's defense, hopefully. I can't show bias. Well, too bad I am. You have great wingers in Nani on the right side and Ashley Young on the left. Phenomenal midfield. I think they're going to bring in Anderson. I'm not quite sure where Tom Cleverley's at in his injury. I don't know if I've heard the word that he's going to play. I know it's been kind of circling around. I don't think he will, but you never know. And then a great solid defense. Nemanja Vidić is back, even though he picked up a red in the Champions League. He's back. Ferdinand's back. You've got Patrice Evra on the left side of defense. You can bring in Smalling or Phil Jones. if one of the two center backs isn't playing. I know they're probably going to have Chris Smalling out there on the right side, who's a fantastic youngster and for from England. And then you have one of the best young goalies in the world in David De Gea, the Spaniard. So there's a lot of talent coming up on both these teams, and it's going to be a very, very good game. The other question is, does the winner of this derby, they have two derbies since they play twice. All the teams in England play each other twice. The first one's at Old Trafford. The next one will be at Man City Stadium. And so my question is, does the winner of the Manchester derby win the English Premier League? Because they're the top two teams right now in the EPL. There's no question about that. Chelsea's coming up kind of behind United in third. So we'll see. So it's the bragging rights of the league, of the city, you know? So this is a big game, huge game. Lots of people need to step up and have very, very good performances. And I think you'll see that. I think both teams will play fantastic, very well. I'm sure they will. That's just how both teams have been playing in the season so far. In other news, this past weekend, Chelsea beat Everton 3-1. Everton's off to kind of a rough start, and it's sad because they're a very good team, and I'm sure they'll change this season around. At least I hope so. Arsenal, who also is kind of off to a rough start, defeated Sunderland 2-1 this past weekend. Van Persie gets a brace, and let me tell you, he scores his first of the two. Brace means two, for those of you that are new to the sport, or the terminology. A single is one, a brace is two goals, and a hat trick is three, obviously. He scores his first goal in the first 27 seconds of the game. Phenomenal play. Van Persie is a fantastic striker. He's now the captain of the team after Fabregas left. He's Dutchman. Oh, fantastic. Then he scores the game, an amazing goal, and I think it was the 83rd minute. It's fantastic free kick. Oh, so dirty. I love goals, so, which is weird because I'm a goalkeeper, so I should love saves. I love saves too, but goals are good. He used the Van Persie. There's been a lot of speculation on whether or not he's going to stay with Arsenal, but he pledged his future to Arsenal on the game day pamphlet. So I'm hoping he stays there. I think it's good for Arsenal, and I think they kind of need him. They need that. He's the only person left on the team that is still there since they've won a cup, whether it be domestic or EPL. So he's the only one left that's on the team now that has won a cup. The others have just come in recently, or, you know, for the past couple of years, and they haven't won a cup. So that'll be the big thing for them. Also, a big surprise. Well, I don't think it's even a surprise. I think they're kind of like the Lions this year, the Detroit Lions of the EPL, is Newcastle. They're in fourth place and in the table. I'm so excited for them because 2 years ago they were relegated. They then won promotion last year won promotion and, you know, did middle of the table stuff. Last year, and now they're in fourth. Comeback story. They're just like the Lions going 0-16, you know, 2 years ago, and now the Lions were what, 5-0. Now they're 5-1. Fantastic. I'm so excited this year. I think there's a lot of teams that are playing well that a lot of people weren't really expecting to play well. Also, according to the Sun, more things about Everton. Everton boss David Moyes is interested in FC defender George John. That's right, the MLS defender, plays for FC Dallas. Pretty good defender, if I say so. And Everton's interested in him. It'll be interesting to see if that happens. I think it's cool because, you know, as of recently, Chelsea and United were interested in Breck Shea. So hopefully there's a little more Americans going to... not necessarily Americans, but just more MLS stars going over to the sea overseas. Like I told you, Gerard came back from his injury, and he really feared his injury could have have spelled the end of his career. But, you know, it didn't, and he's still there, and he's still playing pretty well, seeing as he scored a goal. In the EPL, I just want to go over real quick the goals, who leads the league in goals. Rooney leads the league in goals with 9 after 7 games. After 7 games played, it's pretty good. Just averages above 1 per game. He's followed by Sergio Aguero with 8 from Man City, and also another Man City player is in third with 6. So we got big time players coming up in, like I said, in this Manchester derby. The top 3 goal scorers are going to be going head to head. So it'll be a good game. I promise you that. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little La Liga. That's right, Spanish Premier League, right here on the Red Card, radio.dominican.edu. And we're back to the red card on radio.dominican.edu. That's right. See, I got it right that right that time. I got it right. I'm pumped about that. No more flubs by me. I'm thinking this is no excuses when it's really the red card. I apologize again on that one, ladies and gentlemen. But that's right. So if you're just joining us, we just talked about the EPL. We're going to talk a little bit about La Liga, which is the Spanish Premier League. It's a little harder to watch these games. I don't know if you guys know this, but the English Premier League has is on ESPN. They have a contract with ESPN. They also have a contract with Fox Soccer Channel. You don't get that on regular cable. You kind of it's on Dish and stuff, and so you only really get them on Gold or on Soccer, Fox Soccer. With the Spanish Premier League, there's only like one TV channel that shows it, and it's not even on cable. It's on satellite. It's Gold TV. You know, sometimes Fox Soccer Channel has it, FSC has it, but usually it's on Gold TV. That's where I watch it, or I try to watch it. I sometimes try and watch it online. Sometimes they'll have it a little bit there. Anyway, let's get to the real good stuff. Barcelona this past weekend defeated Racing 3-0. Barcelona's playing fantastic. I mean, I watched them the other day in Champions League, and the goal that Messi and Iniesta set up, their first goal, was I don't think I can put it in words for you. I just can't. If you want to see it, go to footytube.com. It's a great soccer highlights, phenomenal soccer highlights. If I miss the game, that's where I go. That's where I watched the highlights against Racing. That's where I watch a lot of highlights, a lot of soccer highlights. I usually go there at least once a day. I don't know. I can't put it into words. They're genius. Genius is really the only way I can put it right now. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. So I urge you to check it out. But anyway, that wasn't the Racing game. That was the Champions League. I'm sorry. They defeated them 3-0. Barcelona's off to a hot start, without a doubt. Their rival, Real Madrid, beat Real Betis 4-1. Phenomenal. Fantastic. Those two teams are great. You know, you kind of hate to see where that kind of rivalry in the Clásico is kind of gone. As of recent, and how much problems they're having when these two teams meet, because they're really two of the best teams in the world without question. Other Spanish team, Levante, downs, high spending Mayaga 3-0. Mayaga spent lots of money, trying to bring in players to play, and they paid players pretty well too. Levante beat them, and it was a good thing for Levante too. Big time for them. Sevilla and Atletico Madrid tied 0-0. Sevilla is a very good team, and so is Atletico Madrid. Just fantastic players. And this next week, Mayaga looks to rebound against Real Madrid. They play them. They face Real Madrid, and I think that'll be a very good team. You got the likes of Gonzalo Higuain, Karim Benzema, Moises Ozil, you have Marcelo, Cristiano Ronaldo, Kaká, Iker Casillas in net for Real Madrid. I think it'll be a very good game. Lots of talent on both teams, especially for Real Madrid, without question. Barcelona to take on Sevilla. They traveled to Sevilla, and of course Barcelona has probably, you know, there's lots of debate goes on, but they have a very good player, and Lionel Messi, probably the best in the world. Fantastic. He's a magician. He really is. I'm set on it now. I think he's a phenomenal player, without question. And I mean, who doesn't like to see him score goals, because he scores a lot of those. So yay for that. Like, it's good for the fans, right? Osasuna travels to Zaragoza to take on Zaragoza, so that's also a good game to check out. Good news for Barcelona: Fabregas returns to training for Barcelona after kind of a nasty tackle. if you say so, from Marcelo, kind of injured a little bit. So he's back to training, which is good for them. He's playing really well since his transfer from Arsenal. And I think it's because he's really happy to be back home in Spain with the Spanish national team. I think the only ones they're missing are Sergio Ramos and Iker Casillas, who played for Real Madrid. And that's basically about it, you know. Xavi Alonso, who also plays for Real Madrid. So crazy, right? Excuse me. Espanyol earns a rare road win versus Raúl Vallecano. I wish I could speak Spanish. Tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I was a lot more fluent in Spanish. Like, I can pick up words, but it takes me a while. Anyway, Levante, with their win, like I said, over Mallorca, is tied with Barcelona atop the table on 17 points. The only reason Barcelona's atop is because of goal differential. And of course, Barcelona is beating people like it's going out of business. They're scoring goals like it's going out of business, and they just want more goals. Fantastic, fantastic football being played from that team. But that, you know, it's really impressive for Levante. It's really a very good race going on right now in La Liga, without a question. You have in second place is Real Madrid with 16 points. So even the second place or third place team, I guess they're not in second, they're in third place, has 16 points. Lionel Messi leads the league with 10 goals, and he's followed by Gonzalo Higuain, the Argentinian striker from Real Madrid, who has 8. And Cristiano Ronaldo, who also plays for Real Madrid, has 7. So again, like the English Premier League, your top two or your top three strikers are from two different teams. And they're probably the two best teams in each league. The table may not show that right now, but that's basically what it is. After that, we're going to move on to the Serie A. If you're just joining us, we just finished up the English Premier League and Serie A, or excuse me, La Liga. We're moving on to Serie A, which is the Premier League, basically, in Italy. Very good. These four leagues that I talk about on a daily basis, the English Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, and the Bundesliga, all very, very good leagues. The top four for sure in the world. So anyway, Inter Milan hopes for a boost after a win at Lille. They need it right now. They really need it. Milan struggling this year, and I honestly don't get why. You know, you're keeping one of the best midfielders in Wesley Sneijder. You're bringing in lots of talent. They just can't put it together yet. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't think you should count this team out. They're a very good team. Yeah, they're going through a rough patch. But what team doesn't go through a rough patch? Especially in the pros, when you're playing top-notch competition day in and day out. So we'll see. And then cross-city rival AC Milan defeat Palermo 3-0. I guess Robinho had a fantastic game. I watched the highlights. Fantastic game. The Brazilian striker slash midfielder, he's playing very well as of late. Lazio beat 10-man Roma in stoppage time in internal city derby. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I watched the end of this game. Phenomenal. I really can't put words on to how this game went. It was ridiculous. Game's time in the 93rd minute, stoppage time, the German Klose scores a phenomenal goal. A little through ball to him, sets it up on his, touches it with his left foot and sets it up on his right. Bends it just past the Roma goalkeeper for the winner. Oh, phenomenal! Crowd went crazy. Everything went nuts. The coach came running from his from the coaching box area all the way down to the celebration to get in on it. That to me is awesome. I love it when coaches celebrate. I don't like it when coaches give their little clap or a little smile. I want them to get pumped. I think they should be almost as pumped as the players because it's awesome. I love that. That, to me, means a lot. It's big for Lazio because they had lost 4 of the last 5 times these teams have met. So it was big time. And Klose just establishing the fact that he's not done. He's not done scoring goals. He's not done as a professional footballer. He's still there. He's still got some sort of youth in him. Del Piero is playing his final season for Juventus. Del Piero has been around since, I don't know, I think probably maybe since the wheel was invented. I don't know. It seems like every for the last 8, 12, I don't even know how many years he's been playing. The Italian players, it plays good, and he's got a World Cup to go with it. So he's a phenomenal player, but he's playing for Juventus. And big time for Juventus, they're atop the table. They're playing really well, really good football, without a doubt. Following them is Udinese and Cagliari. Three great teams. You have AC Milan in 13th, while Roma with a defeat to Lazio is in 12th. And Inter Milan is just barely missing out of relegation on goal differential in 17th. Goal differential can be crucial. It's only the beginning of the season, but it can be crucial when it comes down to it in the end. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little Champions League, and we'll end the show on that. You're listening to The Red Card on radio.dominican.edu. To the Red Card on radio.dominican.edu with me, your host, Casey Gibson. So if you're just joining us, we've recapped English Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga. We're going to move on to the Champions League because right now it's in full swing, ladies and gentlemen. We've played for most of the groups. what is it, A through H, I believe. I mean, I think that's how many groups there are. I don't know, there's a lot. A through A. They've played three matches. They've gone through, three matches at three players, so or three games. That means they've played everyone in their group once for most. Some are on four, those groups that have more than four teams in their group. So it's in full swing. This is just the group stages. We got, after this comes the draw again, and then from there we just, it keeps going. And it's like every two or three weeks we have games, and I'm excited. I'm so pumped. I love Champions League. It's so much fun. It's almost like the World Cup for club football. And I remember I told you there's a difference between your national team and your club team. It's like the World Cup, except it happens every year. Every year there's Champions League, so you just can't go wrong with it. To start off, Manchester City defeat Villarreal thanks to an own goal and a late winner by Sergio Aguero, who came in off the bench. This game was fantastic. Early goal from Villarreal, an own goal by Villarreal, and then a late winner by Sergio Aguero, who came off the bench, coming back off of an injury. A lot of people didn't know if he was going to play, or if, you know, but he came in, scored a great goal, and sealed the deal, got 3 points for Manchester City. Bayern Munich and Napoli drew 1-1. This is a big time because this is the same group that Manchester City is in, and they tied 1-1. And right now, City's sitting in third, baby. They're sitting in third in the Champions League. You know what I mean? It's a little scary. We'll see how they rebound from that, even with their win over Villarreal. They really needed those 3 points, I'll tell you what. They needed those 3 points. Real Madrid defeat Lyon 4-0. An own goal by the goalkeeper, Hugo Lloris. Kind of unfortunate. I wouldn't know if I would really consider it an own goal. They own goaled it on the stat sheet, but I don't know if I would give him an own goal. Benfica 2, FC Basel 0. This is big time because this is the group that Manchester United's in. Lille lost to Inter Milan, like I said, so Inter's trying to turn their season around with that win right there, which is big for them. Manchester United needed two penalties from striker Wayne Rooney to snag 3 points and jump to second in the group over FC Basel. Not sure if I'm really excited because I don't know if it was their best performance. So I'm a little sketched on that one, to be perfectly honest. I feel like they should have beaten them without the penalties. Chelsea hammer Genk 5-0. Torres fired home a brace. These are his first goals within for 2.5 years in Champions League. So it's big time for him to get these goals. AC Milan 2 over there in their game, you know, played fantastic. They're playing really well, which is good because they're playing in a tough group with Barcelona. Barcelona defeat Plzen 2-0. Again, a fantastic goal from Iniesta and a combination from Messi. Arsenal needed a late winner to stun Marseille. That was a really good game. Fantastic goal, too, in the dying minutes of the game. Olympiacos defeat Dortmund, who's a very good German side, 3-1. So I'll give you a really quick wrap of each group. And Group A, Bayern Munich and Napoli hold 1 and 2 spots. Man City's in third only by 1 point in Group A. Inter leads Group B with CSKA Moscow in second over Trabzonspor by goal differential. Goal differential could be key. It's always it's so key in Champions League. And the other thing that's key that I will get into at a later time, and I'll explain it a little more, especially within when we start getting like the knockout stages of Champions League, is home and away goals. Away goals worth more. So you really got to pay attention to it. It kind of puts another spin on the whole thing. Benfica leads Group C with 7 points, followed by Manchester United with 5, points and FC Basel with four. So that group's kind of still up in the air. Hopefully United can turn it around and get three straight wins and then win the group. Real Madrid have a lead in Group D with 9 points, while Ajax and Lyon are tied on points, but Ajax is ahead by one on goal differential. So again, I'm telling you, goal differential is going to be a key in a lot of these groups. For Group E, Chelsea hold lead with 7 points, followed by Bayer Leverkusen with 6 points. In Group, E, F, Arsenal have 7 points, hold 1 point lead atop the group over Marseille with 6 points. In Group G, Apollon Nicosia atop the group with 5 points, followed by Zenit St. Petersburg, the Russian side, with 4 points, only on goal differential over FC Porto. FC Porto is looking to turn their Champions League season around quick. They really need to get on that. And in the end, AC Milan atop Group H with 7 points because of away goals. Like I said, away goals are another twist to put in on this. They tied Barcelona 2-2. That's where they get their away goals. The game was in at Camp Nou, which is in Barcelona. Barcelona's in second with 7 points and has a larger goal differential, so away goals mean more. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've wasted another hour with me, Casey Gibson, on the red card on radio.dominican.edu. I will see you next Thursday again from 6 to 7. I look forward to it. Thank you. Have a good night.